We have been studying in Matthew chapter 5, but we won't be there today. For the last couple weeks, we have also used for our opening scripture a portion from Psalm 119. The reason for that was because as we're studying this that section of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus spoke about his relationship to the Old Testament, to the law and the prophets, and our relationship to the scriptures as well. And of course, Psalm 119 is a psalm all about the Word of God. It has 22 octaves, that is 22 stanzas of 8 verses each, one for each verse of the Hebrew alphabet. And we are going to look today briefly at verses 145 to 152. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to look there. This is the section that is entitled Kof. It's the Hebrew letter Kof. And the first word of the verse 145 and the first word of verse 146 are Hebrew word kara, and that word means to cry out. And so, as he says here, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. I am so delighted that Dr. Shockley is teaching the book of Psalms in our adult Bible study. I hope that you are getting a lot out of that on Sunday mornings. Psalms, of course, is the songbook of the Bible. And as we come to worship, as I point out, I often will read and pray through a passage from the book of Psalms that relates to our worship on that particular Sunday. It is, I think, under the category of prayer that singing finds its place in Christian worship. The Psalms were sung prayers. And it's right to sing to the Lord under the new covenant as well. Singing can also fall under the category of teaching in our worship. Paul writes in Colossians 3:16 that we are to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, we may not always remember this, but our hymns and our songs are vehicles for proclaiming God's truth to one another. And they serve as a teaching function as well as a prayer function in our worship. Prayers, both spoken and sung, are essential in biblical faithful worship. In this passage that we look at today, verses 145 to 152, the psalmist, of course, is in prayer. It's a prayer. You can see that. We are given a glimpse of how he prayed, why he prayed, when he prayed, and what his prayers were about. But most of all, we learn about the importance and the interconnection between prayer and the Word of God. In fact, all of Psalm 119 has to do with the Word of God. He'll use a lot of different words to describe the Word of God. He will use judgments, commandments, precepts, statutes, God's justice, His righteousness, His faithfulness, His testimonies, all of these words to piled up to describe God's truth that He has given us in His Word. And there is this intimate connection between prayer and worship and the Word of God. If your worship and your prayer life has lost something and is in need of reviving, then this section, I think, of Psalm 119 is for you. This stanza gives us real quickly just four patterns of prayer that God can use to revive our prayer lives and our worship today. Number one, in verses 145 and 146, we are to pray earnestly and to worship earnestly. He says, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. One of the ways to breathe life into your prayers and into your worship is to recognize your desperate need for God, your desperate need for His help. Like we sing in the old hymn, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. First two verses in this, as I pointed out in this hymn, begin with cry out. I cry out. It expresses earnestness and intensity. This psalmist is praying with passion. The earnestness is also clear when he says, I pray with my whole heart. Spurgeon says, heart cries are the essence of prayer. And his requests are simple. In verse 145, he asks the Lord to answer him. He says, hear me, O Lord. He wants God to answer him. And in verse 146, he prays, save me, deliver me, rescue me, is what that means. His first thought, as he thought about difficulty, because when you get down to verse 150, you find out he was in difficulty. He had enemies who were pursuing him, drawing near to him, those who were wicked, those who didn't care about God. And he, when he encountered difficulty, his first thought is, turn to God for answers and for deliverance, to hear and to save. Notice the purpose of his prayer in both these requests. His earnest heart's prayer is so that he can obey the Word of God. Do you see it there? I will keep your statutes. I will keep your testimonies. This prayer is not motivated by a desire for God to just make things easier for him. It's not a desire for comfort or for pleasures. It's motivated by a determination that I want to obey God more. We don't come to worship or prayer so that we can just get things from God. We come to become more of the people that God wants us to be. We come for faithful obedience. May God help us to see our desperate need and to pray and to worship earnestly. Secondly, in verses 147 and 148, I want you to see that he prays constantly. I rise before the dawning. In verse 148, my eyes are awake through the night watches. He's praying first thing in the morning. He's praying late at night, and he's praying every time in between. His prayers are constantly going up before God. His life was not compartmentalized into time with God and time for everything else. Every part of his life, day or night, was God-centered, God-oriented, and God-centered. Worshiping, and so it should be with us. In verse 147, he prays, and in verse 148, he meditates on Scripture. And so that suggests there's this two part, two-way communication that we have with God. That we pray and we meditate on His Word because that's how He speaks to us. The New Testament often uses a familiar phrase, watch and pray. Nothing will inspire your worship on Sunday morning more than constant prayer and meditation on the Word of God during the week. So he prays earnestly, he prays constantly. Number three, he prays biblically. Look at verses 149 and 150. He says, hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. Here, he specifically prays for God to revive him. He prays for revival in his spiritual life. But that is based on what? It's based on God's grace and on God's will. He says, according to your loving kindness, that's the grace of God, and according to your justice, that's God's will being done. In effect, he's praying, God, because you are so full of love and grace, I want you to hear me, revive me so that I might live in a way that is based on your truth, your decisions, your will. I want to live according to your word. He needed God to revive him because, as I said in verse 150, he had enemies. They were drawing near to him, those who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. But then point number four comes in. Even though his enemies are drawing near, look at what verse 151 says. You are near, O Lord. The wicked may draw near to us, but the psalmist remembers, you, O Lord, are near. God was nearer than his enemies. MacArthur comments, when you have a thought, the Lord is near to read it. When you pray, the Lord is near to hear it. When you need his strength and power, he is near to provide it. In fact, he lives in you and is the source of your spiritual life. An awareness of his presence will keep you from being anxious and unstable. Psalmist had this confidence in the nearness of God because God's word, he said, is firmly founded forever. Do you see that in the verse 152? Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. As Jesus said in Matthew, that not one jot or tittle will pass away until all of it is fulfilled. You know, we often think of prayer as a spiritual discipline for private worship and private devotion, and it is. But prayer is also a public devotion that is to be part of corporate worship as we worship together as the body of Christ. And when we sing our hymns or pray in unison, we are worshiping the Lord. Today, as we worship in song, let us sing our prayers earnestly, constantly, biblically, trustingly. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for speaking to us your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, most of the Christian churches sang from the songbook of the Bible. They sang psalms. We still sing psalms in some of our hymns are really psalms. There are some churches that still have not just a hymn book, but a psalter. That is, this hymn book that is simply the psalms put to music. And from one of these psalters, I found this song. It is called, I Cried With All My Heart. It is Psalm 119, verses 145 to 152, sung to the Lord. So listen to my prayer. Make it your prayer.
Oh. I cried with all my heart, hear as I call, O Lord. Answer and save me, O my God, and I shall keep your word. I rise before the dawn, waiting upon you, Lord. All through the night I watch and wait to ponder on your word. In mercy hear my voice, give me life by your ways. Those who pursue are drawing near, who all have gone astray. But you are near, O Lord, all your commandments true. And from of old I know your ways forevermore.